also going to be in Genesis chapter 4. No, go ahead. Praise God. Amen. It's kind of a different day today for me. I don't know. I was on a line. We're going to preach tonight. I was going to preach a message that I'd never preached before. Now I'm going to preach another message I've never preached before. But man, I was so prepared to preach that other message. I was like, yes. About 9 o'clock today, sitting there, maybe 9:30, and God started turning something over in my mind. And I started looking it up. And all of a sudden, God just started opening up this thing. I wrote 2 pages of notes and about a book's worth of some post-it notes. We're probably going to have to get some more post-it notes. And I'm telling you right now, this thing is going to help somebody tonight. Now, when I first started reading it, I thought, man, no, it's a Sunday message, Lord. But I hate to tell you a secret about that. I don't have Wednesdays and Sundays messages. I don't. I'm on the line of this. If God gives me something and it's real good and He wants me to preach it, I don't know if I'm going to be here Sunday. And you don't either. So I like to get the good out when I can get the good out. Amen? But I will tell you while you're looking for Luke chapter 4, I was going, it's Luke chapter 3, by the way. Well, it's just right there, don't worry. It's at the end of the page. Luke chapter 3. I went at lunchtime, I was so full, I was almost like, God, you give me the message way too early. It's Wednesday. So I went home to get some lunch, and I knew my wife and my son were going to be there. So I start unloading nuclear bombs of messages on them. And they were acting like it was a pop gun. I'm like, listen to this. Boom, listen to this. Boom, they're like. Mm-hmm. I'm like, man, this message is going to be terrible. But they're like that. They can hear all the stuff that I get and they just listen. But then my son started getting what I'd say in the spirit and he started talking back to me about it. So I knew it was going to be good. Ray came into my office maybe 10 days ago. It might have been less than that. We've been reading through the Bible, the New Testament. And he came through and he said, man, at Luke chapter 3 at the very end, I hate to say it, it's just hard to get through. Something like that, right? And I agreed with him. I showed him one thing when I agreed with him. And I was like, yeah, sometimes that lineage is tough. God, I'm telling you today, God leaned down out of heaven off the throne of glory and laughed at us. Laughed at us. Said, let me show you something. Let me show you something. I'm going to give you the bookends of these lineages. I'm going to give you 2 bookends, and I guarantee you tonight when you leave here, if you've been through some stuff, you're going to leave here better today. You're going to go out these doors if you've been through some things. And listen, if you haven't been through some things, I don't think there's anybody here like that, but if you haven't been through anything, when you do go through it, this is going to be good for you. Amen? This thing is so good. Go to Luke chapter 3 and let's see. All right, verse 23. And Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age, being, as he was supposed, the son of Joseph, which was the son of Heli. Right? And that goes on, beginning, and it just names all the people. Matthew, Levi, Malachi, Jana, Joseph, right? All those names. The reason I gave you that right there, and the way God gave it to me, is Joseph starts the lineage of Christ. Joseph starts the, so maybe the lineage of Christ right there. He was considered Jesus' father, but he wasn't. We understand that he was Jesus' stepdad. Amen? Jesus' stepdad. And I'm going to give you Matthew 1 verse 25. You don't have to go over there. I'll just give it to you real quick. And he knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Y'all know who Joseph is, correct? Joseph had the hardest ministry in the New Testament. You're going to be the stepdad of Jesus, but you ain't touching it and you ain't naming it. You ain't touching it and you ain't naming it. That means when the angel came to him in Matthew chapter 1 and told him, this is the way it's going to be, this that's in her is of God, you marry that girl. But don't you touch her. And don't you name it. And he did not go in unto her until she had had Jesus. He named him Jesus. He said, look, this ain't mine. Never mind. I don't know if y'all can handle this. Listen, as men, we want to, if we're going to be a part of something, we want it to be ours, and we want to name it. And well, this is what I do. This is my title. This is my job. This is my deal. You know what? I ain't got nothing to do with this. I just got to be obedient. No, yeah. I could preach for hours on this right here. Could you imagine if God said, marry somebody who's already pregnant by me? And what's coming out of there is the Messiah. And all I want you to do is I want you to be a help to your wife and to this Messiah until he gets old enough to be what I want him to be. You just be a good stepdad. You just be a guide. You just walk beside Jesus. No, my goodness. Don't touch it. I know, man, I don't want to get there. I'm just saying. Well, let me put my stoops on. Let me have some part in it. No. Ain't nobody's name's Jesus in his whole deal. I could go through this whole lineage and show you how God took imperfect people and done amazing things. Holy people, righteous people, powerful people, prostitutes, women that were what you would call incest, and made and formed the lineage of God. And matter of fact, Jesus come out of this lineage. Until you get down to verse 28, or verse 38, I'm sorry. And this is where God turned it all over for me today. Which was the son of Enos, which was the son of Seth, which was the son of Adam, which was the son of God. He run Adam's lineage. He run Joseph's lineage, Jesus' lineage, all the way back to Adam. Amen? All the way back to Adam. And I was sitting there reading that today, and God said, He said, when you have to bury your miracle, when you have to bury your miracle, and then you got to start over. Because there's a name in there that's called Seth. Seth is a substitute. Seth is a substitute. Seth comes along because Abel died. Without Abel dying, there's no Seth. Without no Seth, there's no Jesus. Genesis chapter 4. And Adam and Eve knew his wife, and Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, "Oh, I have gotten a man from the Lord." Hallelujah. I've got a man from the Lord. Third world country, man. That ain't the hospital. This ain't the hospital. This is wipe them off, cut the cord, take them outside the tent and show everybody. I got me a man. See, a man was important because a man, I ain't knocking women, don't get me there, but I'm just saying men back then were a status. You couldn't earn no money, couldn't inherit no land. They wasn't giving you anything back then. So a man meant the seed's going on. The family's got a lineage. We're going to make it. It's going to be all right. It was as much for the man as it for the woman. The woman said, "Now if something happens to Big Daddy, we got a son who can inherit." Golly, never mind. We're in such a different time and era in life. Back then it meant there's somebody going to work, provide, and protect. Not somebody who's just going to hang out in the basement and play video games. Whew. Amen? A boy's born today is a whole different deal. But I mean, this mama, I mean, she said, "I've got a son, and his name's Cain, and I got a man from God." What a blessing. She's holding a blessing, but he ain't always going to be one. Amen? Woo! Never mind. If we could be real sometimes when we thought we was getting a big blessing, if we knew what we knew, how that big blessing was going to turn out, we might have just started weeping and crying and asking for something else. Amen? We might have started praying and fasting right there. Oh, God, help this one. Amen? Can y'all be real with me if I be real with y'all? This is some good stuff. But guess what? Abel come out after him. You know what it says about Abel? And Abel was a shepherd. He was a shepherd, a keeper of sheep. He was a shepherd. Does that remind you of somebody? Let me see if I put it this way. He was a shepherd, and he was killed for a sacrifice. Does that make sense now? His older brother slew the younger brother because the younger brother did it right. Okay. The Pharisees and Sadducees, the Israelites, were trying to do it their way, the Adam way, and when Jesus came along, they sacrificed him. He is the great shepherd. Amen? He goes, "I am the shepherd." Amen? Man, Abel was born, and he said, "Hey, I'm going to worship God." He took his first, and he put it up before God. And you know what? His older brother said, "Uh-uh." He killed him. Man, this is so good. I'm glad it's in. Are y'all glad this is in the Scriptures? Listen to this. In verse 25, Genesis 4, verse 25, "And Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son, and called his name Seth. For God said, He hath anointed me another seed instead of Abel, who Cain slew." I was thinking when I was writing today, and I'm trying to put all this new message into one place. How do you start over? How do you start over when your miracle's gone? Abel's a baby. Y'all don't. Some moms know. Men maybe know. I know. Babies. You got your older one, and you got your baby. Amen? Cain, when you got an older one, the older one gets all the responsibility, all the blame, and all the responsibility. They're almost like a surrogate parent. Amen? The baby, no responsibility. Don't have to watch for nothing. Matter of fact, they get away with everything. And you hear stuff like this: "You don't treat them the way you treated me when they were coming up. They get away with murder." Huh? I can't believe you're letting them do that. But it's just little old Abel, right? Well, the baby was killed. And the mom is heartbroken. Amen? And you know what? All of a sudden, God starts putting it on their heart. Y'all need to start over. Y'all need to start over. You know, men, it's easy. It's hey, men, you give us about 1 day, 2 days, kick something, hit something, be mad, upset. No, y'all ain't gonna let me preach tonight. That's what it is. I, being honest, ain't nobody up here wants to hear a word I got to say. Listen, a man will go and he will hide himself out. He will ride down the road. He will go somewhere where nobody can see him, and he will pitch a fit. Somebody ask him on his way there, what's going on? Mm-mm. We'll get out there and howl and cry and punch and be upset. Oh, man, y'all. And then we'll wash our face. And we're ready to move on. Hello? Some of you women, y'all might want to take a note every once in a while. You wonder, why did he do that? Why is he do that? That's how men operate. When we're over it. We're over it. I've been telling this myself, hey, were you still mad about that? No, I was mad. I'm over it. I'll write this down. You never get over it. Woo! Preacher's got in trouble now. Hey, man, got another record. Right? Listen, he was over it. Let's get on with it. Let's make another one. We'll do better. Mom ain't ready yet. Hey, man, that's my baby boy. That's my miracle. Hey, that's what God is using. That's what God does. I'm going to have a hard time. Amen? How do I start over? How in the world do I start over? It's not the point. Because at first you start running this out. Because y'all bear with me, because I've never preached this before. And I'm just practicing, if you will. Listen to this. Hey, check this out. One time, if you think about it this way, you start blaming yourself a little bit. It's my fault. My fault. Hey, man, I sat there and talked to that devil. I stood there at that tree and I listened to him. I had a conversation with him and he gave me all his points. You know, I just listened to him and he told me what was good and what was this, and he made me feel like God wasn't going to take care of me and God wasn't good enough. And I made that talk with him, and golly, Adam, he just stood there. But it was really my fault. It's really my fault that my son's dead. It's my fault that Abel's the way he is. And if I'd have done better with Cain, it would probably work. If I'd have done this or if I'd have done that, oh my goodness, it's probably my fault. And then, you know, we got out here and we've been kicked out of that. And man, I went through so much pain having him and delivering him. And then I delivered Abel. And I just thought we was going to have a great family. And if I had knew, when I was standing at that tree talking to Satan, that it wasn't going to be Adam who died. It wasn't going to be me who died. But it was going to be my son who died. I would have never, ever, ever took of that tree. Are y'all with me? Y'all understand what I'm saying? This is hard stuff. It's hard to get started back when your heart's broke. It's hard to go, man, you know what? We'll just go start right back over. We'll just start going right back through it. Through the tears, the pain, the shame, the heartache. Start over ain't easy. God can't be real, y'all. I want to try so bad. Adam walks in there. Hey, Eve. I was watching you dress that lamb tonight. You're looking good. You look so good tonight. I'm just saying, Eve. Look good. It's been months, you know, since everything. And I just want you to know that I still love you. I'm just not ready. I'm just not ready for you. I'm just not ready for that. I mean, you don't know. I'm so ashamed. I know, baby. But we got to move on. We got to do something. I know, but I'm afraid. And I'm angry, and I'm hurt, and I just don't know. I wish some of y'all could. I wish some of y'all just do this right now. What was your Abel? What died? What got took away from you? That was your Abel. Oh man, some of y'all in this room know exactly what I'm talking about. Some of y'all had an experience and you lost something. You absolutely lost an Abel. And God was wanting you to get started again, but it's hard to get started when you haven't gave up on Abel. I'm still hurting. I'm still smarting. I'm still going through the he said and she said. I'm still thinking about why, what went wrong. But I know that God's put a Seth on my heart. I know He wants to put something else in my life. It's just hard. Hard to get started up on that miracle because I was thinking about this when I was writing it down. Does anybody in here, does any women in here know what labor pains are like? Okay, that's one or two. Okay, good. I tried to explain to Melissa what labor pains were like before she had Peyton. I probably told you this, but I rode my motorcycle to work the day that Peyton was born. It was February 18th. It was like 20-something degrees outside, but I bought that motorcycle, so I'm riding it, right? 3 o'clock in the morning, I'm working double shifts, so I go at 3 o'clock in the morning, I ride my motorcycle in, and I get to work, and I'm working, and all of a sudden, the lady comes up to me and says, "You need to go home. I think your wife said she might be having a baby." I was rotten. I'm just telling you, I was rotten. I leaned over, and I said, "Are you sure?" Because we needed the money. I'm just being honest. We needed the money, and I needed to work. I said, "Are you sure?" And she looked at me like I'm crazy. She goes, "You can call her." I'm like, okay, you know. So then I go up to the office and I call and she answers and I'm like, "Hey." She's like, "Hey, I think this thing might be happening." And I'm like, "Are you sure?" And she goes, "No, I'm not sure." And I'm like, "Well, maybe I can get like, you know, 4 more hours in, you know, and that way, you know, but I mean, if you want me to come home, I'll come home." She's like, "No, you just keep," but she's like, "No, just keep working." I'm like, "Okay." So I go in the truck, out of the truck, back to the machine, in the truck, and about somewhere in between that, I come to my senses. I got to go home. Or I'm going to die. So I parked that Hyster and I went out and got on my motorcycle. Again, my hands ain't even thawed out from the ride in yet. I'm riding with her and I'm talking. I'm like, she's like, "Man," and I notice like every few minutes she goes berserk. Crazy. Like starts yelling and like this stupid radio and this car's a piece of junk. And I'm like, and she's like, "God, I love you, baby. Man, this is awesome." And I said, "Are you going to have this baby today?" She goes, "I don't know." I said, "You know what? Let me tell you something. You think you're in pain? Let me tell you about some pain. My hands are hurting so bad right now because I got that freezer burn thing going on. I think that your pain probably is." I was just kidding. I'm being honest. I was joking. I'm like, "Your pain couldn't be any more painful than my pinky freeze is right now. This pinky freeze could, when we're over at the emergency room, I'm going to have to look at this first." We're having a time. She broke out some board games. We didn't ever get to play those board games, honey. She broke out a deck of cards. It was, never mind. Doctor went in there, because you could probably come back to your 11 o'clock appointment. The nurse came in and looked at her, and so she's going to have the baby here in a minute. She breaks out a deck of cards. "You want to play some cards?" I'm like, "You're crazy." But then we got to see, listen, Melissa went through some pain. I mean, a lot of pain. What real pain looks like. My pinky freeze, I didn't bring it up anymore. Amen? This is one of the few times I get to bring it up when I'm preaching about this. I didn't bring it back up because when I seen real pain, I was like, that's pain. But you know what? The pain, her expectation of the pain, she could go through it. You know why? Because she was delivering a promise, a miracle. That miracle was Peyton. That miracle was Abel. You know what? You'll go through that first time before you know it. When I first started in ministry, I had some pain. I had some aggravation. I had some heartache. I had some trouble. It's called birth in a ministry. It's called birth in a church. Some of y'all started this church. Some of you worked here. Guess what? You go through some heartache. You go through some pain. And you know what? You're willing to deliver. She delivered. Look, Eve brought out Cain and Abel. And she's like, "I love making babies. It hurts. But it's worth it. There's some joy on the front end." Amen. Then there's the birth and it's pain. But then you bring me and child into the world and it's awesome. But then one of them died. And the joy ain't joy anymore. Amen. Joy ain't joy anymore. It ain't. The pain, you don't know if it's worth it.
Because guess what? When you deliver them, there's a chance. There's another chance. This one died too. That one could die too. And I don't know if I'm willing to do that or not. My mind started turning on this. My mind started turning as soon as I got this. And the reason is Seth produced Jesus. You have to open up yourself. That's what I wrote down today. You have to open up yourself for the miracle and the possibility for another hurt. Amen. I'm gonna have some liberty with some people. I won't use any names. You remember when they say they took the names and changed them to protect whatever? Okay, I'm gonna do that. I know some people that have had miscarriages. So they had a miscarriage, and they had the joy and the excitement. They thought they were gonna bring forth a child, and then they had a miscarriage. And the pain was so heavy and so hard that they thought, man, I'm never going to set myself up for that again. I'll never go through that. I will never do that again because, you know, it was fun and it was exciting and I knew there was going to be pain, but I can't go through the hurt again. I won't up myself to that. And then they met somebody they loved and they trusted God again and they had children. And guess what? They said, oh my God, I'm so glad. I'm so glad that I didn't let that death of that miracle, I'm glad that I didn't let that stop me from doing what God would have me to do and bring some kids into this world. I thought about people who adopt. And they get everything together. They get everything right. They get all the letters. They get all the documentation. They get all the money. They get it, everything set up. And the person comes up and takes the money and they don't do it and they don't follow through and they leave and they say, I'm never going to do this again. This hurts too bad. There's another baby that needs a mom and daddy. What about Abel? Yeah, but there's a Seth out there too, amen? And then there's that one who's been through a divorce and hurt so bad. I ain't never going to love nobody again. I ain't putting my heart out there. I've been crushed. Aren't you glad you love again? Your Abel dies. Your Seth comes along. You gotta open yourself up to all that pain, and all that heartache, and all that trouble again. I started thinking about it. Oh, it's not the same, Adam. Oh, he's growing in there. This is going to be a weird one. As Seth, without Seth being born, and we wouldn't go through all the lineage and find Jesus. Amen? Without Seth being accept that opportunity once again. Now I'm preaching this to you, and you say, why are you preaching this to us on Wednesday night? I think it's because of this. Because you can't look at something that failed, that something died, or something that was broken, and never do it again. Because you're going to be hurt. Some, well, I got sick and I got hurt and I got this and I got that. I'll never try again. That's not what God does. God works through the brokenness. He works through the pain. He works through, He shows you something. He says, look, I'll show you something. And then guess what? There's a Seth in there. Man. You know how many times when you get hurt, you just don't want to open up to nobody again? You just don't want to let nobody in your life anymore. You're just like them. You'll just be just like Abel. You'll be gone. But that's not what God wants from us. What He wants us to trust Him and open up. What if I get hurt again? What if somebody hurts me that same way? Have you ever said this? I love too much. I trust too much. I forgive too much. You need to make another note. That's a lie. That's a lie. That's a lie. You can never love too much. You can never trust too much. You can never forgive too much. Praise God, it's the other person's problem. Amen? It's the other person's problem. What you need to do is say, look, even though it'll hurt, I know there could be a miracle in it. I know that there's the possibility that if I open up myself to this again. And if there's a possibility, if it can fail, there's a possibility that it can die. There's a possibility that we can run out of money. There's a possibility that nobody will show up. But praise God, what if they? What if it works? What if it don't go under? What if it does help people? What if it's the Savior of the world? What if it's Jesus? What if it's a Jesus thing? What if God wants you to birth a Jesus thing after you birth an Abel thing? And you think, man, I'll never do that again because it hurt too bad. I think there's a lot of people in churches today and on the outside of churches that are afraid to do it again because they got hurt so bad the first time. Well, there's some people in this room. I know. There's some people in this room. You did it despite of how the opportunity to get hurt again would have made you feel. Oh, I ain't ever going to do that again. You even said it. I ain't gonna do that at church anymore. I'm not going to go over there and let them do me that way again. And guess what? Here you said on a Wednesday night. I'm not going back over there and getting involved. I'm not going to be in that class. I'm not going to be on that board. I'm not going to be in that church. I'm not going to be in the leadership. I'm not going to go. And here you are. Here you are. Ain't it amazing how it starts working? Ain't it amazing how God starts working on you? I'd like to know what it's like again. Man, I can't wait to get to heaven and talk to Adam and Eve. Talk to them about Seth. How to get started. How'd y'all get back? How'd y'all get back to ministry? How'd you get back? We knew. We knew the hurt. We knew the pain. We knew there was some joy in it too. We found the joy again. Amen? We found the joy again. Some of y'all need to find the joy in ministry again. Some of y'all need to find the joy in church again. Some of y'all need to find out, hey, I can let my guard down around people. I can love on people and let people love me. I don't have to stay clenched up. Amen? I don't have to stay clenched up and be ready to fight and protect myself because if I don't let my guard down. I remember my dad used to give me whoopings. A lot of them. But he'd give me such hard whoopings right before he'd whoop me, I'd clench up. Right? And I remember one time we're out next to the Bass Tracker boat. I don't know why I remember it, but I did something. And he started to whoop me and he started laughing. And I said, "What are you laughing about?" He goes, "I ain't even hit you yet and you're clenched up." I said, "I know, I'm prepared to hurt. I'm prepared to hurt. You give hard whoopings." He got to laughing so hard he let me off the hook. Some of y'all are that way. You're clenched up. You're ready for the hurt. You're ready for it to fail. You're ready for it to go under. You're ready for it to die. You've already killed it and you ain't even letting nobody get around you. Ain't letting nobody in. You're like, no, I know it's gonna fail. I know it's gonna happen just like it did last time and it failed. Listen to God. Listen to God. What if God's saying, let go. I want to show you something great. I want to birth something in you that's new. I want to birth something in you that's great. I want to bring something through your life. And because you got hurt, I'm still preaching. Because you got hurt, you'll be better. Because that pain, you'll be better. You know what? I'm a better preacher now that I'm a little older because I got hurt in my life. Before I had hurt in my life, I was preaching and talking to people about things I'd never experienced. I was preaching on an expectation. Now that I know, I can come to you and I can care for you. I used to try to say all the right words. Come in and try to say all the right words. Hospitals, funeral homes, everything. I'd say, oh God, on the way down there, I'd say, oh God, give me the right words. Oh God, you help me out. I really need the right word. God, just help me. You know what I do now? God, let me love them the right way. let me love them the right way. I don't care if I say anything. God, just let me love them the right way. Let me love them the way you love me. The best thing, so I had to do a funeral not long ago, and there was a wife who stood in front of me, and she was sitting there going, I don't even know what to do. I don't know about this, and I don't know about that. And I could have sat there and told her, this is what we're going to do. You know what I did? I crammed that in my pocket, I put my hand around her neck, and I said, listen, I love you, God loves you, and we're going to take care of this. Be all right. I didn't even recognize her, run into her. You don't recognize people after they've been through that sometimes. Because when you see them, when they're not grieving and they're not mourning and they're not weeping, I run into her and she said, you got me through that. Not the message, not the prayers, not this and not that. Just, we got this. We're going to be all right. That's how you love people. That's how you do the right thing. You'll be willing to be hurt. See, I've probably been hurt more in the last 5 years than I have in ministry. Amen? Not hurt like hurt people hurt me. I'm talking about having your heart crushed. Amen? Just having your heart crushed because you love people deep. You're supposed to. So now I know. Sometimes I think, man, I'm going to get involved in their life too, because if I do, man, they're going to crush me. I had a pastor friend one time says, you don't want to get too close to your sheep, man. I like to punch him in the face. Serious. I'm like, hey, are you serious? I want to be as close to my people. I want to be involved. And if that hurts, it hurts. Amen? Amen. I guarantee you this. You probably never met an old-time shepherd who didn't smell like sheep. If you did, he probably wasn't a shepherd. Amen?
Got a chance of getting hurt.
Yeah. We also got a chance to see Jesus work in a bunch of people's lives too. Amen? And that'd be worth the hurt. That'd be worth somebody hurting you. Is if you get to see Christ come out of it. Amen? Man, I thought, man, looking at that. Scott, come on. I was sitting there thinking today when I was looking at that, I was like, man, that's just in a lineage. That's just in a lineage. Seth's in there. Adam and Eve had to forgive each other. Never mind. I might get on a rant about marriage if y'all don't watch it. You know, marriage ain't, there's not a whole lot of formula to marriage. Big part of marriage is being willing to forgive each other a lot. Say, I'm sorry. Or at least attempt to say you're sorry in a roundabout way. Amen? But I wonder, they forgave each other, and then somewhere in there they had to forgive God. Whew, forgive God. Y'all remember how it went down, right? When they first got kicked out of the garden, when they come down, Adam said, it was Eve, the woman that you gave me. Right? You should have knew better, Lord. Amen? Should have picked a better rib. Amen? But then, when Eve was going through hers, she said, the serpent that you made. Whose fault is it? God, ultimately, it's your fault. Right? You set us up for failure. Right? Somewhere in there, they had to forgive each other. Then they had to forgive God and realize God has our best interest at heart. And in that forgiveness and in that love, they could come together and bring forth a Seth, a replacement, a substitute. Amen? Whew. Man, I love this. Don't y'all, do y'all like stuff like this? That's just one. That's just a name in a lineage, Seth. That's insane. How God would take the child that was birthed out of pain and bring the lineage of Christ through that. Not through the victorious, not through the man excited, not through the one who did it right, but through the pain side of your family. God works through the pain side of your life, the heartache of your life, the place where you felt vulnerable. Man, I can't stop preaching, Scott. The place where you felt weak, vulnerable. I can't. I have no strength, no ability. I was most broken. God brought through Seth. Brought Christ. Y'all still thinking, I'm still thinking sometimes God's going to use my strengths. It's not. He's going to work. When you get to heaven, when He shows your life, wait a minute, God, you work through all the pain part of my life more than the victorious strong side. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Kyle.